Cape Talk. Business in Africa with Refilwe Maloto.
Who is on the phone? She is out of love with travelling while traffic lights are down because of load shedding, so she's staying at home. Hello, Refilwe.
You.
Are you there?
I'm here. Do you hear me clearly?
Not as well as when you're sitting a meter away from me, but...
I apologise. I am here. I am here, and I'm just barely out of hospital, so good. Good to go.
Ah. Oh, dear. That dropped down the well and made a resounding echo. Are you all right?
Oh, sorry. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm alive. Okay. Thank you.
Good. Let's then chat about the AU summit that kicked off over 2 days on Sunday, the 32nd Ordinary Summit held in Addis Ababa. You feel it was a little more than ordinary?
I think it was a bit more than ordinary. Look, I thought it was, it's definitely, the AU is definitely rising in prominence and has been rising in visibility under Paul Kagame's presidency. He's now handed over to the Egyptian president, and in 2020, South Africa will take up the presidency. So I think it's an important moment in terms of not just the visibility, but there were a lot of initiatives that came through over the past year that, to varying degrees of success, did well. The one we often speak about, obviously, is the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement. South Africa, importantly, finally got that ratified in Parliament and was able to hand over the instruction of ratification at this particular meeting. And as one of the biggest economies on the continent, everyone is obviously looking to South Africa, and we're now at 19 countries out of the 22 that we need in order for the free trade agreement sort of to roll forward across the continent. So for me, I thought that was quite significant. It's a very big signaling issue when South Africa is, you know, leading the charge in that regard. But I definitely think that did very well. We also spoke over the past year about the single African air transport market, or the open skies theory, and the move towards a singular passport and open borders. Those initiatives have not been as successful. And I thought that was quite an important point this particular year, where the focus of the AU was about refugees and the displaced people on the continent. You know, between being heavily indebted and slower growth amongst the bigger economies, you're finding that most of those economies that would be standing up to help in security and people-focused policy across borders are beginning to turn more inward. And so it's becoming a far more urgent need for us to pay attention to. And that was definitely discussed at length at the conference, although, as happens, these sorts of solutions never necessarily come out of a two-day meeting.
Sorry. Over to you.
No, I was just going to say there were some bright lights. Obviously, the African Economic Outlook was released over the weekend as well at the summit. And South Africa, I mean, Africa is ticking up really positively. We've discussed this before, that we're getting sort of a widespread sense of strong growth. 40% of the continent's countries will be growing at least 5% this year. So it's not just that we have one or two bright shining lights. We're starting to see a return, particularly from smaller economies. We're looking for 4% growth in 2019, and 2020 should go up to 4.1%. That coming off a difficult 2006 at above 2%, and last year at 3.5%. So that definitely was a very bright light. The complexity, and again, this is where it's very important where we're speaking about the movement of people and the ability for us to see this, the inclusive growth and pro-employment, is this translating complexity for African countries.
But you had a question. It's my traditional caution, shall we say. Let's not use an ugly word like cynicism, but my traditional caution in the nature of these events, they tend to paint a far more positive picture than one would get if one spent some time on the ground. So it's all very well to have these documents signed about the African Free Trade Agreement and so on. But in reality, it's probably quite a lot further away, with many more obstacles in place to get it underway, than the country leaders would acknowledge at a place like a summit.
100%. Now, that's where the economic outlook, I thought, was quite useful from a business perspective. Obviously, they've dug into the data and have been doing the study for the full year. One of the things that we often like to say is very positive on the continent, for example, we like to see leapfrogging through a positive lens, that the continent was able to leapfrog the industrialization stage of its development from mostly primary sector to move to services. But the study, there was a study of about 20 African countries that the African Development Bank did in this particular report, which actually showed that manufacturing-led growth is three times as likely to increase your or at least increases employment by 3% for every increase of growth, of GDP growth, whereas a services-driven growth only increases employment by 1%. And actually, agricultural-led growth can reduce employment across the board. And so what we're really needing now is, in light of your cynicism, and you're absolutely correct, is to be able to actually get manufacturing and firms to grow far more quickly in the African continent in an industrial sense, as opposed to, you know, the startups of the fourth industrial revolution, which we seem to be trying to rely on to actually make the growth inclusive.
Thank you very much. Rafiel Mamalotto, Economic and Strategic Advisor.